Aloha, this is Catherine Cruz. Mahalo for joining us on this Aloha Friday, April 26th, Hawaii Talks on the Conversation. It happens to be National Pickleball Month, so we're rebroadcasting our recent interviews about the fastest growing sport in the country and across our state. Hawaii County shares what it's doing to meet demand, and an Oahu tennis pro weighs in on the growing tensions between pickleball and tennis players. Plus, we talk with a local doctor about the pickleball injuries that are on the rise with the popularity of the sport. And we get insight from a pickleball pro, the only Hawaii player featured on a pickleball reality show. So raise your nets and get your paddles ready. The Conversation Pickleball Hanaho Show starts right after the latest headlines.
Support for The Conversation comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors, Bavarian Motor Experts, and Chaminade University.
Here on Hawaii Public Radio, we strive to bring you the best of both worlds. We keep you informed and entertained with national programs like Marketplace and Fresh Air, and we also keep you connected to our community with our local shows like The Body Show, Bite Marks Cafe, and Kanikapila Sunday. In fact, one-third of our programming is hosted by HPR's own staff. To learn more about all of our programs, head to our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.
Support for HPR comes from the Scheidler College of Business at UH Manoa, celebrating 75 years, offering master programs in finance, information systems, marketing, and travel industry management. Scheidler.hawaii.edu.
You're listening to The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. April is National Pickleball Month, and so as the month draws to a close, we're highlighting recent stories that we've aired about the sport across our state. There's no denying its popularity. Here in Oahu, the city opened the state's first dedicated pickleball complex at Keihi Lagoon Park last summer. When we looked at evening court times at a privately owned pickleball complex in Aiea, we found they were booked solid through mid-June. Pickleball has had an impact on our residents, for better or worse, and our interest in looking closer at the sport started with this voicemail from a listener.
Hi, my name is Bernadette Savitz. I wondered if I could pitch an idea of doing coverage of pickleball on the Big Island. We are struggling on the Hilo side with getting more courts and the availability of courts throughout the island, and how we have a huge pickleball community in Hilo that's quite underserved at this time. Aloha.
Here on Oahu, we've seen the city make progress around the island to increase available courts. A section of its website is dedicated to helping the public find one of its 197 courts at 95 parks. But according to our listener from the Big Island, Hawaii County resources are far more limited. The Conversation's Russell Subiono talked with the county's Parks and Recreation Department Director Maurice Messina last month about how it's working to meet pickleball demand.
Well, I can tell you that within our department, pickleball hit us like a ton of bricks. We knew that there were pockets of people who, or pockets of individuals or groups, you know, who played pickleball. But over the last couple of years, it's really started to take off. When we first became aware of it, it was just a few people coming in and asking us if, you know, we could help them with pickleball lines and things of that. And then it quickly became, we had a lot of people who were moving to our island, who were coming from spots that they had like large pickleball facilities, standalone pickleball facilities. And it was being asked of us if, you know, if we could do that as well. There were people who were asking us to build some of these facilities so that our island can become a pickleball destination of sorts. One of the issues that we're dealing with in our department is we have decades of deferred maintenance. For instance, when we came in, we had about over 300 facilities, we had about $450,000 allotted for our repair and maintenance of these facilities. And so what that did is it really hamstrung us on what we could and couldn't do at our facilities. For instance, you know, how do we build a new pickleball court when we know that we have bathrooms that are shut down? How do we build a new pickleball court when we know that there are other facilities that are, you know, falling down because of termites? So instead, what we did is we tried to pivot. And we said, okay, what existing facilities do we have? And how can we ensure that all of the people who are, you know, becoming familiar with pickleball and who are actually getting the recreation and the sports mechanisms that they haven't had in a long time? You know, for instance, that we've had a lot of people come and tell us that they have been a lifelong tennis player, but their knees or their ankles or their wrists can't handle it or their elbows can't handle it anymore. And so pickleball has been a savior for them, ensuring they get their exercise. So first thing we did is we invested in temporary pickleball court lines, because some of our courts, like in our indoor court facilities, we have lines for basketball, we have lines for badminton, we have lines for volleyball, and it was getting confusing with all the lines. And so we thought that if we bought these temporary pickleball lines, that would help a lot. But even those couldn't keep up with demand. So we quickly realized that, hey, you know what? We need to actually put down permanent lines in our gym facilities. And so we've started working towards that. The mayor also recognized that pickleball is growing faster than our budget is. So last year he allotted in this current fiscal year, he allotted $100,000 for us to create some standalone pickleball courts in Kailua Kona and resurfacing of some underutilized facilities throughout the island that we could also, you know, turn into standalone pickleball courts. I've also given a directive to our projects team and our maintenance team that anytime we resurface a court, whether it's basketball or tennis, anytime we build a new court, we got to ensure that there are pickleball lines created on those courts. Right now, we have people utilizing our gyms, our tennis courts, the Quonset huts near the area where we do Mary Monarch. We have the firefighters on our island are using their driveways for pickleball. And our recreation directors and technicians, they've instituted like little tournaments and stuff in their districts for pickleball. And there's actually been a growing competition within our own recreation department about, you know, which district has the best pickleball player. And so we have to make sure as a parks department that if there is a new sport that comes along, whether it's futsal, which is, you know, indoor soccer, whether it's rugby, which is starting to take a foothold, whether it's disc golf, you know, equestrian programs at our equestrian center. What we want to make sure is that if there is a need for a recreation program, that we're going to do our best to ensure fairness for the facility and for that new program. And that's kind of what our strategy is now. If we know that there's a need, we know it's growing, we know it's not going to go away. So how do we have enough forward thinking in our budget and in our programming to ensure that those that want to play have a place to go?
Approximately how many pickleball courts are there, whether they're shared or designated specifically for pickleball? The feedback we've gotten kind of gives the impression that there's not much.
So we've identified approximately 150 courts that can be utilized for pickleball. We are not able to have all of those courts, obviously, aren't striped or resurfaced yet, but we have identified that we have about 150 places that we could put pickleball courts. But our goal is to create more standalone pickleball courts as well. We're also cognizant about, you know, not putting pickleball courts directly next to, say, an apartment complex, a condominium complex, or something like that, because there is a sound that comes from it, right? And it's the constant sound. So we're being cognizant about exactly where we place the pickleball courts so the end users don't have this competition with residents in the area.
I think some of the reasoning for the feedback that we've gotten from some of the East Hawaii residents, you know, they kind of look over at city and county of Honolulu and the support that the county here has thrown behind the sport. What would it take for Hawaii County to be able to support it in a similar way where there would be a website with a list of all the courts available and pickleball specific courts maintained by the county? Is that something that would have to be appropriated and planned for? Would it take a couple of years to get to that level?
I don't think so. For instance, the mayor helped us secure funding this year for a new public information officer position. And one of his charges is to update our website. For instance, just last week, we went live with a new aquatic section update. And the reason we know that we have 150 potential pickleball courts is because Thatcher is trying to build that on our website right now. So what our goal is to, when somebody comes in, whether you're a visitor or whether you're a resident, you can go to our website and you can just select, I want to see all sites where pickleball is available. And that's our goal. Hopefully by the second week in April, we should be going live with our facilities listing. Every one of our facilities will have a website that shows you all the amenities, all the activities that can happen at every facility. The last component of that is going to be pickleball. We're not there yet, but that is a goal of ours. And I would say we should be able to have that within about a couple of months. So not a couple of years, but a couple of months.
I just have one last question. And what I wanted to do was just pose a question that one caller had left on a voice message. She asked, for all the benefits and value that pickleball brings to the people, she wants to know why there seems to be a lack of support from the county to provide the public more opportunities for pickleball. If she were to approach you with that question, how would you respond to her?
I would say there's not a lack of interest from the county. For instance, we met with a lady this morning. Her children are starting to become competitive swimmers. And her question was, how come we don't have starting blocks at one of our pools? Because it's important to her kids for the recreation and the competition that they want. And it's the exact same answer to her is, we know there's a need. We want every person who has a specific recreational need on our island, we want to meet that need. Unfortunately, like I said a little while ago, the decades of deferred maintenance have us chasing our tail, trying to keep up. But we absolutely understand that there's a need for pickleball. The amount of research that we've done on it, we are working to do an island-wide pickleball tournament, the first on our island that is going to be ran by our department. We're working on that already because we know that there is a lack of resources for the pickleball community. So I would just ask anybody that believes that the county is not supporting this effort to have a little bit more patience with us as we identify the funding that is necessary. And we want to make sure as well that all of the other sports that are currently being played on our island, that they have the same fairness. The reality is, if I look at Kailua Kona, or if I just look at Kona, even if you look at our fields, our athletic fields that we have, there's not enough space for baseball, basketball, soccer, rugby, football. I mean, you name it, there's not enough space. So we have started the environmental assessment and the planning and design for Kealakehi Regional Park because we've got to be able to provide more of those services. And one of the first things that was mentioned as we're working on the design for Kealakehi Regional Park is we need to make sure we put in pickleball courts. And so we understand that there's a need and we're trying our best to catch up where, you know, there are other municipalities that are ahead of us on this. But with the mayor ensuring that we have the proper funding that we need and him specifically putting money into our budget for pickleball, I think we're on the right track and we're going to get there and we're committed to it in our department. So our deputy, Michelle Hiraishi, and I, we have listened to so many podcasts. We've listened to so many radio programs, YouTube videos, and everything about pickleball so that as we're progressing and we're understanding the need, we also learn what the pitfalls were in other municipalities as they moved along. You know, we've heard of lawsuits by residents that where pickleball courts have been established too close to their homes. And we're really trying to make sure that as we grow this on our island, we do it the right way to where we never have to go and backtrack or reverse some of our decisions on where to place these courts. So our goal is when we build it, it's there to last. And as the sport grows, we hope to be in the spot in the next year or two to where as it grows, we are able to meet the growth because we have all of these facilities ready to go.
That was Hawaii County Parks and Recreation Head Maurice Messina talking with HPR's Russell Subiono about the county's efforts to meet pickleball demand on the Big Island. We'll continue our Pickleball Hanaho show right after the break.
Support for HPR comes from TS Restaurants and its Legacy of Aloha Foundation, supporting the Maui community and assisting those affected by the wildfires. More about how to help by searching tsrestaurants.com Legacy of Aloha.
Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Alan Klein, author of Learning to Laugh When You Feel Like Crying. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about embracing life after loss.
Beginning Sunday morning at 11.
Support for Hawaii Public Radio comes from Mobi, a Hawaii wireless company since 2005, featuring a locally based customer care team committed to problem solving and personal service for each client. Learn more at mobi.com.
You're back with the conversation here on Public Radio. We've been resharing our stories about the sport of pickleball from across the state, the good, the bad, and the noisy. We recently spoke with Honolulu's Parks and Rec Director, Laura Thielen, who told us about a lack of aloha between pickleball and tennis players. We were curious about where that animosity comes from. Here's what one young player asked Mayor Rick Blangiardi at a town hall meeting last year.
Hi, my name is Lauren Abesu, and I am a third grader at Wilson Elementary School. I take tennis classes at the park. My coach told us that we may have to stop our classes soon because our courts will be made into pickleball courts. When I first heard this, it made me really sad. I even cried. I really enjoy playing tennis because it lets me exercise with my friends. None of my friends play pickleball, but now we may not be able to take our tennis classes together. Is it true that they will be taking away my tennis classes? And will I not have anybody to help teach me how to play?
Play tennis, right? Laura, I'm looking at you. You want to come up here and talk about pickleball courts? You know, that's not fair. You know, that's not fair. You bring your daughter. But that's really masterful. I congratulate you. Okay.
So, no, we're not going to take the tennis lessons away. What the adults are trying to learn, though, is how to share.
And that's a pretty adorable way of summing up tennis players' worries. Ron Romano is the executive director of the U.S. Tennis Association's Hawaii Pacific section. The Conversation's Maddie Bender spoke with him last month about the tension between tennis and pickleball players.
Here in Hawaii, we've got about 7 to 8% of the population that plays tennis. So it's a fairly significant number, but probably the most significant thing is between 2022 and 2023, tennis in Hawaii grew by 18%. So nationally, Hawaii was the second largest growing tennis population in the country. Pickleball, I think, is growing tremendously, but we don't have a lot of data on the numbers here in Hawaii, to be honest with you.
Are you worried at all that emphasis on pickleball will mean that tennis players will get left behind?
We support pickleball. The health benefits are very similar. It's easy to play. It's social. It's fun. You get a lot of exercise. And so we support that. What we Our biggest and only concern is we don't want to lose tennis courts because we're growing and we're maxed out. I mean, I might not even be able to add another junior tennis tournament this year because there are no courts available. And so with the growth of pickleball, for some reason, I think the city felt that they needed to quickly accommodate all the pickleball players, but at the expense not only of tennis, but taking tennis courts, taking basketball courts, taking volleyball courts away. And we've met with the park director, we've met with the mayor, and we've had conversations. But our conversations, from our point of view, weren't critical. They were positive, saying, hey, we think that if you had blended lines on a tennis court where you could play pickleball or tennis, that would be a great short-term solution, but we would advocate that the city could then plan to build some dedicated pickleball courts. And in fairness to the pickleball players, you know, they don't want to carry a net and have to set up a net and then put down some drop-down lines to make sure they know the dimensions of the court. So quite honestly, I think the USCA has been the biggest supporter of building new pickleball courts here in Hawaii, which you would think might sound a little odd.
And I think that's a really important distinction that you just brought up, that blended courts are a short-term but maybe not a long-term solution. And I'm wondering if you could elaborate as to why you feel like it's good for now, but in the future, it's not ideal.
There are 197 courts that are lined for pickleball. 197 courts on Oahu are lined to play pickleball or tennis or pickleball and another sport. So I think the city did a good job in some sense with the blended lines, but that's not a sustainable solution. You know, across the country, we track hundreds of millions of dollars being spent in cities and municipalities building new pickleball courts. The Pickleball Association nationally is very aggressive in their advocacy. And even here, I think their advocacy is very strong and sometimes a little aggressive. But we reached out to one of the pickleball associations and said, you know, why don't we together create an advocacy to build more pickleball courts on Oahu? We'll go to the mayor, we'll go to the council, whatever. And we had some discussions, and then they decided that they would rather do it on their own, maybe so they can have their own message. But we did think that would be a stronger way to advocate to the city. If the Tennis Association and the Pickleball Association were advocating for the same thing, I think it would have a stronger voice. But that didn't happen, but it still could. We're certainly open to talking to the Pickleball Association. So, you know, I hear sometimes I get a report that the police were called at Diamond Head or the police were called at Ala Moana because they're tennis and pickleball players fighting over who's got the court. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to see that. Believe me, we want everybody to go out and have an enjoyable experience. But the short-term solution, the blended lines, but the long-term solution has got to be permanent pickleball courts.
Do you have stats on how frequently these conflicts occur?
I don't. I don't think anybody's tracking them, but somebody, you know, one of my staff or friends might just call me and say, hey, did you hear about this or did you hear about that? I think it happens fairly regularly, especially at Diamond Head and Ala Moana. And one of the reasons is because the Diamond Head Tennis Center is an iconic tennis center that's been there for decades. And you have a lot of local players, but you also have a lot of visitors that come in, especially in the winter, you know, the snowbirds that come in and play there regularly. So by introducing pickleball on some of the existing tennis courts has created a conflict between the tennis and the pickleball players. And we don't like to see that.
And so do you get the sense that this has been escalating recently?
I think so, because pickleball is growing. And if anybody, you know, I sometimes hear, oh, well, I drove by a tennis court and it wasn't busy. And I said, well, what time did you drive by? Oh, 1 o'clock. Well, most courts for any sport are not busy at 1 o'clock. Yeah, unless there are some solutions, we're going to continue to have, you know, the conflict that we do out there in the community.
One of the things that was brought up when we were talking about these conflicts, just a lack of aloha. Mm-hmm. Is that something that resonates with you?
The cultures, if you look at the history and the culture of the sport, they're very different. You know, tennis comes from a very respectful, courteous, polite kind of sport. And there are rules that say you wait in line, and when the court becomes available, you have 45 minutes. So if you were a tennis player, you would have either a singles partner or you'd have a foursome for doubles, and then you'd wait, you'd go out on the court for 45 minutes, and then if somebody was waiting, you give up the court. The pickleball culture, and I'm not saying it's bad, it's just different. Pickleball is more of a group activity where 20 or 30 people will show up, and they'll bring chairs, and they'll bring ukuleles, and they'll just take over, let's say, a four-court facility, literally take it over, and hang their paddles up on the fence saying, okay, the paddles mean that we're in the queue for the courts. And that's the culture. And for them, it's fine because they have a group of people and they're playing and they're socializing and they're having fun. But it may exclude people that want to get on the court. So the cultures are very different. And that seems to be part of the problem, not just the limited number of courts.
And that culture you're talking about also plays into, I think, one of the main distinctions between pickleball and tennis, just to an outside observer, which is the noise.
Think if you're, you know, most of the public parks are set back from homes or businesses or whatever. But I can tell you, I was just on Maui. There's two lawsuits. One of them, I won't mention names, but one of them is out in the Kihei Wailea area. They converted tennis courts to pickleball right next to some luxury condos. So they had a lawsuit, and now they have limited days and limited hours that you're allowed to play pickleball because of the noise. Then I talked to somebody else actually down near the Lahaina area at the Royal Lahaina, and there are residences that are close by, and there's another possible lawsuit. And so that seems to be more prevalent all over the country. I've also had calls from condominium associations who said, hey, we've got tennis courts. And in the condos, the courts are right there. And so they've got lawsuits, or they're implementing rules to limit, either eliminate or limit the hours that you can play pickleball because of the noise. So it is a serious consideration which people need to think about if you're close to a residential area.
What are the intermediate steps that seem to be missing here? What are the routes that people feel like either they can't take or there isn't a system in place for them to seek relief besides going to court?
I think there are some things that you can do. I'll give you a real-life example. We manage a four-court facility in Kona. So this pickleball pro approached us on working at this facility. So the first thing we did is we got a decibel reader. So you can measure the noise. So we went around and measured the sound of the pickleball in the parking lot, near the hotel, near the condos, all over to see how loud it was going to be. And it was below the acceptable level. Mm-hmm. And so we knew that it wasn't going to create a problem. So that's one thing I think people can do before they do anything.
Out of curiosity, have you ever played pickleball?
I have. I'll tell you. My wife, who is a lifelong tennis player, she plays pickleball maybe five times a week, and I have lots of friends and even members of the USDA, even board members of the USDA, some of them play pickleball. And if you're a tennis player going to pickleball, you will be a very good pickleball player. It doesn't always work the other way around, but if you play tennis, you're going to end up being a good pickleball player.
That was USTA Hawaii Pacific's Ron Romano talking with HPR's Maddie Bender about the growing tension between tennis and pickleball players.
When you support HPR, you support locally produced programs featuring locally produced music, including Kani Kapila Sunday.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kani Kapila Sunday. I'm Kaylee Iloma, and I'm so happy to be with you again on a Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m. to offer you great Hawaiian music from all periods.
Hawaii Kula Ivi.
Aloha nui kako. You are tuned in to member-supported Hawaii Public Radio 1's Hawaii Kula Ivi. Ovo no keio, DJ Mermaid, Paige Okamura.
And Mauka Tumakai.
This is Mauka Tumakai. I'm your host, Roger Bong.
Your support brings the music of Hawaii to the world. Support Hawaiian and local music programs on HPR. Donate at hawaiipublicradio.org.
The popularity of pickleball across the state has not only increased participation, it's also spurred an increase in injuries. We recently talked to Kaiser Permanente Hawaii sports medicine doctor Benjamin Chun. Here's the lowdown on pickleball pain.
So our practice kind of sees all ages. So we've definitely seen more people participating. So just talking about it, because every time someone comes in, we kind of ask, well, what are you doing these days? What are you doing for exercise? What are you kind of into as far as like recreational activity? And the pickleball keeps coming up more and more and more and more for people. So we're definitely seeing an increase in interest in participating. And then with that, we're having people have more issues who are playing pickleball, having more issues with various kinds of injuries. Typically, the stuff we're seeing is what's kind of out there in the literature, which is the common thing. So the most common joint to come in and see us in the office is the knee. And then the second most common joint that we probably see is going to be the shoulder. And I'd say pickleball people, it's kind of the same distribution of that. So most of the knee issues that we see, I'd say we see probably less acute injuries, and it's more kind of like exacerbation of underlying things, mostly osteoarthritis or degenerative meniscus tears. We'll see some newer stuff, which is usually like new to participation. So that's going to be like your overuse tendonitis, so runner's knee or patellofemoral syndrome, some IT band syndrome stuff for the knee. Shoulders is typically more overuse as opposed to like acute injury. So that's going to be more of your rotator cuff tendonitis type stuff and impingement syndromes. We are not the ER though, so I've heard from ER colleagues that they are seeing a little bit more like the traumatic injuries. So ER is where they're going to see like the wrist fractures from the falls. That's kind of more commonplace with pickleball athletes, and the ankle sprain type things.
Well, explain something to me, because we often hear of tennis elbow or golf knee, but I don't know, do they have a name for pickleball something or other?
So I have seen they're sort of stealing, like, I don't want to get into all the angry politics of tennis versus pickleball. I'd hate to have pickleball steal another term for the pickleball elbow, which is basically tennis elbow. You'd see that because the paddle can be a little bit heavier for some folks, and it does make a difference, like, how heavy the paddle is that they're using. So sometimes people get one that's a little bit too heavy, and they end up getting, like, the classic, quote-unquote, tennis elbow.
Well, I heard a new one. A coworker said that a friend of hers gave herself a black eye with the paddle.
The more people play, the more they come up with like new and exciting ways to injure themselves.
Well, we do hear of a number of people, our kapuna, right, that are taking up the sport because, you know, you don't have to run as far, right? The court's smaller. But I imagine, yeah, the falls and broken bones probably you're seeing.
Luckily, we haven't seen like an epidemic of that, thankfully. We do know that there's a risk of falls, and we certainly have seen our fair share of people falling and getting contusions to knees. The wrist fracture thing, I think, is the thing we worry a little bit most about, because usually it's kind of the person either trying to backpedal really quickly and then kind of losing their balance, or they're not used to kind of turning and running really fast. And so they lose balance, and then they fall, and they kind of put their hands out to try and break their fall, and they land on their hands and knees, and then usually the biggest concern with that is that they're going to break their wrist. So that is definitely, in our older athlete, one of the concerns about them playing.
And then correct me if I'm wrong. So if you injure your wrist, is that more like an occupational injury versus a where you go to occupational therapy versus physical therapy?
Dealing with like hand-wrist issues, usually it's occupational therapy because they do hand therapy, but But yeah, the hope is that you don't have a wrist injury that requires a surgery. But at the very least, it's a lot of time down from your participating in your sport and your exercise while you're healing up. And so we like to have people able to continue being active and out there and not kind of losing time due to injury.
Well, I mean, it's great. If it's getting you off the couch and away from the television or computer and getting you outside and active, I mean, that's a plus.
Absolutely. So even though, like, we see more injuries related to pickleball participation, we don't view it as a bad thing. We're just happy to see people getting excited about stuff because at least half the people that are going to pickleball used to be doing something else, and they kind of got away from doing regular exercise because maybe they developed a little arthritis and it was harder to play tennis or it was harder to play racquetball. And they said, you know, my friend told me to come out. I can still compete. I can socialize. I can get out there and kind of get back on the in the saddle of doing regular exercise again, but it doesn't have the same burden and impact on my body, so I'm able to do this stuff. So we've definitely seen people kind of reigniting that excitement to get back out and play sports again, which is great because that just helps every other health maintenance thing that they have. So selfishly, our population that goes out there and plays pickleball is just much healthier overall, right? They just have better blood pressure control, better diabetes management. They're more engaged in kind of staying healthy. So across the board, always a net benefit to be out there.
Well, is there anything you want to say about prevention? You know, we often hear about stretching, you know, that kind of warming up.
Probably the best message is, number one, we definitely encourage people pursuing their interests and passions. Like the data, there's not a ton of data out there on like injuries and things for pickleball, but we do know that participation in pickleball is a net benefit to someone's health and well-being. So that's number one. So just if you're interested, we definitely encourage you pursuing that. But with that, we like people to be conscientious and aware of the things that they're bringing there to the pickleball court. So if they have arthritis or they have mobility issues or they have a little bit of balance problems, not kind of recklessly flinging themselves out there, but saying, hey, you know, I'm older now, I'm wiser, I'm going to be a little bit more strategic about how I go out. So I'm going to kind of ease into this. So I kind of want to feel it out. I want to first make sure I have the proper shoes. I want court shoes, something that's comfortable, that's not going to slip on me. I want to make sure I have the right equipment. And then I'm going to feel out, well, how do I move now, right? So even if I've been jogging and staying in shape, I've been doing a lot of straight ahead stuff. I haven't necessarily been doing side to side things. So I want to see, well, how does everything move? Like, do I feel stiff moving in certain ways? Am I a little unbalanced moving in certain ways? Do I have the right shoulder mobility? So as I kind of assess myself, I want to see realistically what's the best way to do this. Do I join a class first and I kind of work my way up? Do I start getting myself on a regular exercise regimen to support the pickleball? So I start stretching more regularly. I start doing more dynamic warm-ups. I start going for walks more regularly to get my strength back. Do I join a gym again just to make myself feel like I can handle the competitive demand out there? So, and then being honest with yourself and listening to your body always. And so what we tell people is if your body says, I'm hurting, maybe I'm not ready for this right now, it doesn't mean that I can't be ready for it and I should never do this. It just means I'm not ready for that thing yet. So I'm going to start laying my foundation. I'm going to start doing regular exercise and training. And once I get to this step, I can move up to the next one. So encouraging them, but being mindful of like being honest with themselves about where are my limitations and what do I need to do to address those?
Yeah, I'm 65. Do I need to get limber first, start with walks, start with some weight-bearing exercises, that kind of thing, just to get your stamina up? You are going to be shifting around on the court.
Sure, but it's okay to go with your friends or your family members and like play around with the paddle and the ball, see if you like it, kind of get into that environment where, you know, one of the biggest benefits is it's such a community thing. So you feel engaged, you know, people are encouraging, and you just feel it out there, right? So not feeling like you have to kind of peek over the fence and be wistful for what other people are doing without you, but just going out there and kind of feeling it out and just seeing like, how do I feel about this? And just assessing where you're at, you know, am I ready to start being competitive and at what level? You know, most people start with doubles because it's a little bit easier on the body first and you get to learn the rules of the game and the pace of the play.
That was Kaiser Permanente Hawaii sports medicine doctor Benjamin Chun talking to us about the types of injuries that he's seeing with the rise of pickleball. Its popularity was high before the pandemic and only intensified during and after. Let's take a break now, but we'll be back with more of our Pickleball Hanaho Show.
Support for HPR comes from the Honolulu Museum of Art, presenting Kapulani Landgraf, Aua, a photographic installation about Lahui featuring 108 Kanaka O'iwi. Now on view, honolulumuseum.org.
When you're out and about, stay connected on the HPR mobile app. Whether you're on a run, walking the dog, or just doing errands, take Hawaii Public Radio with you. Stream the latest news and talk from HPR 1 or experience the soothing calm of classical music on HPR 2. Plus, you can see playlists, listen to interviews, and see the program schedule too. Available 24/7 right from your smartphone. Available on the App Store or on Google Play.
Support for The Conversation comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Hastings and Pleadwell, a communication company.
Welcome back to The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. Imagine getting paid to play pickleball. A national call for elite players went out last fall for the reality TV series Pickleball Paddle Battle. Now, 16 contestants will paddle their way to the top prize, a professional sponsorship. Here's Iolani alum Ace Rodriguez, founder of the indoor pickleball company Pickleball Kingdom and producer of this series.
Teammates, we just concluded an exhaustive review of all applicants for season one of Pickleball Paddle Battle. To put that in perspective, we had 93 entries on the last day alone. Crazy, right? So first of all, big mahalo to all of you who entered. I gotta tell you, some of you have no idea how close you came to being selected. So keep an ear out for season two, might be you. But to let you know what we have for this season, we've got elite players with some big personalities and cool background stories. Just to give you a flavor, we have an American Ninja Warrior. We have an attorney. We have a triathlete. We have a nurse. We got a couple of pro tennis players. We even have a TV newscaster. It's gonna be great. We're definitely gonna make magic happen.
We talked with one of those elite players, the only Hawaii resident to be cast in Pickleball Paddle Battle, which wrapped up production this past November. Kevin Wong's a champion in the local pickleball community and known affectionately as the Trick Shot Maestro. The Conversation's Lillian Song sat down with Wong in our studio last month.
It's interesting to see how Pearl City native Ace Rodriguez married the popularity of pickleball and reality TV with the creation of Pickleball Paddle Battle, which you successfully applied for and made onto the cast, one of 16. Share details about that.
Yeah, I was super excited to be announced as one of the final 16, one of 8 men that were able to get onto the show. It was a great time. It was fun to compete on the show and to be able to meet new people, and it was just a blast to be on it.
It hasn't aired yet, but how did you play pickleball for a reality TV show?
Yeah, thankfully, it was mainly about pickleball, not so much the reality side of it. And so it was mainly just competition, whether it be gender doubles, mixed doubles, some things here and there that you'll see. But it was mainly through competition that we kind of went about the show.
Okay, and what's the status of the show at this point?
Currently, I think they are still working on finding a network. I don't have any details on any release date or anything like that, so stay tuned. Hopefully this year it'll come out, but nothing certain at this point. I grew up playing tennis pretty much my whole life, since I was 7 all the way through college, so I haven't touched a racket for about 10 years now, and it's been mainly pickleball. About 2017, that's when I first picked up a paddle. I definitely do see both sides, even though I'm on more of the pickleball side these days, but I definitely can relate to both sides in terms of not having enough court space and just kind of wanting both pickleball and tennis players to be happy.
Right. And while doing the research, your name came up quite a bit. So you're well known in the circles of pickleball.
Apparently. Thank you.
So how did you fall into and start pickleball?
One day, a bunch of guys from church asked if I wanted to go play pickleball. At the time, I had no idea what pickleball was, never heard of it, never seen it before. They said it's a racket sport. It's kind of like tennis and ping pong. And I love both of those. And I played both of those. So I was like, okay, let's go hang out. Let's go have some fun. Went out there and been playing it ever since.
So fast forward 7 years. You are now a pickleball pro at Wildlife Country Club. So help me understand, what does it take to get to the level of being paid to play pickleball?
The route that I'm currently on is not playing professional pickleball in terms of going to tournaments and playing for prize money that way. I'm currently teaching and instructing here in Hawaii, pretty much part to full time right now. And that's the path that I'm on and kind of what it takes in terms of getting paid to play or getting paid to teach pickleball.
Pickleball in itself is very unique. You said it was a merge of tennis and ping pong, and there's a thing called the dink and the kitchen. Care to, like, what was your reaction when you first heard these terms?
Yeah, I mean, definitely early on, these terms, even the name of pickleball is just pretty funny to think about. And so thinking of dink and the kitchen, to me now, though, it's just common. I mean, it's just the terms that I use day in and day out when I'm teaching or playing. So it's definitely interesting early on, but now it's just a day-to-day thing that I'm used to.
Because you're already like a 5.0 level player, how much practice do you put in?
Sure. I honestly probably play maybe 1, maybe 2 times a week if I'm lucky. The majority of time that I'm on court is teaching. So not as much as some people think. Yeah, probably like 1 to 2 times a week.
I see. Different aspects of a career in pickleball. You could totally just be playing like tournaments, playing for prize money. But like in your case, what you're doing, you're making it a career by teaching, by coaching pickleball.
Yes, correct. One of the highlights of teaching pickleball is seeing, number one, just the love of the sport that others also can see as they're practicing or improving and just playing the sport of pickleball. Whenever someone learns a new shot or gets excited about being able to keep a rally going, that keeps me motivated to continue teaching, to continue helping others to play pickleball and to get better.
There is also an organization like a pro circuit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a couple pro circuits, the PPA Tour and the APP Tour, and also a thing called Major League Pickleball. And these are all professional tours that players travel to across the states and play mainly for prize money. And so those are the avenues in which players are playing professionally.
Okay, and do you follow like what's happening on the continent with tournaments and the leagues and all that?
Yeah, I definitely follow what's happening across pickleball, especially the pro tournaments. Social media makes it very easy to follow, so I'm following along when there are tournaments.
As you see the popularity growing, do you anticipate pickleball achieving the stature of sports like, say, the NFL, where you're going to have Super Bowl for pickleball?
Yeah, I mean, I think pickleball is still in its early stages, and I think it does have the potential to make it big. I'm thinking hopefully it makes it to the Olympics one day. In terms of the Super Bowl, hopefully there's maybe like a big year-end tournament. They only take the top like 8 players at the end of the year type of thing.
So very elite. Okay. Yes.
But hopefully it just continues to grow in that way. Currently, there are some tournaments here locally. They're not big tournaments. They're on the smaller side, mainly local. I would say there's maybe 2 or 3 tournaments that bring in players from all over. recently at the beginning of the year was the one in Maui in January, and then the Hawaii Open that was just in February that I was able to participate in, and that brought some pro players down. Otherwise, you're not looking at too many tournaments here in Hawaii. There are maybe one or two leagues that are happening. I think the biggest is probably Oahu Pickleball Association runs a league at Diamond Head. But other than that, not too much on the competition side of things.
I see. And as a spectator sport, do you see pickleball like achieving, is it being picked up by OC16? I mean, locally, do people get to watch pickleball getting played?
In Hawaii, I don't think there's many, if any, stations that are picking up pickleball matches. I just don't think there's a big enough venue for it at this point. Hopefully in the future, organizations and things can put on bigger events where people can come and watch really good pickleball being played. But currently there's nothing in terms of like volleyball being played on OC16 or even basketball or even high school sports. So currently that's not happening.
Okay. And before I let you go, though, any other things you think would be helpful for our listeners to know? Anything you'd like to share about just your journey with pickleball?
Yeah, I think if you've never played pickleball before, I think it's a great sport and a great time to try it. There's many places to play, and there's courts that are being built across the island, across the state. So check it out. If you do play pickleball, continue playing pickleball and hope to see you out on the courts.
That's pro player Kevin Wong in HPR's Lillian Song. Wong is the first resident pickleball pro at the Wailai Country Club on Oahu. He also teaches classes for the Oahu Pickleball Association. Fun fact, pickleball got its start in 1965 in Washington State when a trio of families created a game using a badminton net, ping pong paddles, and a plastic wiffle ball to entertain their bored keiki. The name was inspired by the pickle boat, which is a rowing term when a last-minute crew is put together from rowers available at the time.
Hello, hello. Hello, hello. Oh, hello, hello.
Well, that is it for this Aloha Friday. Next week, the trial begins before a federal judge for families seeking damages from the military for fuel-contaminated drinking water. It's been 2.5 years in the making. The Navy has already admitted it was negligent. And a reminder, our show is available as a podcast if you want to listen back to something. The conversation is produced by Russell Subiono, Lillian Song, and Maddie Bender with support from Savannah Harriman Pope. The Backyard Quiz theme written for us by John DeMello and our theme music courtesy of Gypsy 808. I'm Catherine Cruz. Join us on Monday. Pick up the conversation.